Welcome to the Golden Hills Podcast Daily, where you can spend a few minutes each day with us to meditate on God's Word. Now, here's today's encouraging message.
Hello, I'm Phil Ward. I serve as a pastor at Golden Hills. In today's Golden Hills Podcast Daily, we'll be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. One of the reasons why I love this text of scripture is its brutal honesty. Peter writes about needing to be humble, the reality of the devil's desire to devour us, and the presence of suffering being experienced all over the world. But one of the other reasons why I love this text is the shimmering hope it offers. Peter mentions the mighty hand of God, God's tenderness towards us, experienced by his care for us, our ability to resist Satan through our faith in Christ and God's abundant grace. And so what I want to do is go line by line through this passage and see how the Apostle Peter helps us to take our eyes off of ourselves as the source of hope and instead to put our eyes on God, where our true hope is really supposed to be. So verse 6 begins with the command to be humble, therefore. Now, what is the therefore? It's always important to know when you see the word therefore in scripture to ask yourself that question. What is it there for? So in verse 5, Peter writes, "Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And since God gives grace to the humble, we should therefore clothe ourselves with humility towards one another." And the verse goes on to say that we should humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Rather than building our identity on how much we're crushing it or how much we're failing, we should really view ourselves in light of the majesty and authority of God. Being humble like this, we are motivated, as Peter says. He goes on to say, you know, what is our proper motivation? He says, it's so that at the proper time, God may exalt you. You see, God gives grace to the humble. He exalts those who are humble. So in other words, God loves when people come to him in full recognition of their absolute need. In due time, God will meet our need and he will also lift us up and he will strengthen us. Verse 7 then tells us what we should do about these truths. How then should we respond to what Peter has written? And he says this, that we should cast all our anxieties on God. If that's all Peter wrote, we would already have all the motivation we would need to pray and trust God. You know, we can just cast our anxieties on God. But what Peter does is he goes further and he says we should cast our anxieties upon God because he cares for us. Our God is mighty and our mighty God cares for us. And because these things are true, therefore we should humbly cast our anxieties upon him. I love the way that that works, that we should cast our anxieties upon God because God is both almighty and also he is so tender with us in the fact that he cares for us. So then in verse 8, Peter gives us a warning. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Our anxieties, they oftentimes brew in our minds and hearts, and what happens is Satan is prowling for his prey. One of Satan's strategies is to inflame our anxiety and to tempt us with things that will consume our thoughts and our imaginations. And so you may imagine no one else is as anxious as you, and no one is struggling like you. But brothers and sisters, we need to fight against this, and we need to push back on this. And one of the ways we can do that is simply by recalling the almighty power of God and the fact that he cares for us. And then more practically, we need to limit how much news we watch, how much news we read about, and how much of the negative kind of press that we're allowing in our minds. And instead, we need to fill our minds and hearts with the things of God. And I really don't mean like fortune cookie Christian platitudes. What I mean is we need to fill our minds and hearts with robust, Bible-saturated, Christ-centered truths that will breathe life into us. Just these kind of platitudes of, you know, hang in there and all will be well. They're not anchored in anything. They're not rooted in anything rock solid. And so we need rock solid biblical truths that are just seeping with Christ-centeredness so that the Holy Spirit would breathe into us this life where we can trust God and we can have confidence in the face of any kind of hardship. And that's what I love about this text is that's what it does, is it gives us the anchor for our soul. Like in verse 9, Peter writes this. He says, "Resist Satan, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Jesus said that in this world, we will have many tribulations from John 16:33. Paul said that through many tribulations, we will enter the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 14. The reality, brothers and sisters, is that we live in a fallen, broken world. And to make matters worse, we have an adversary who is actively trying to undo us. And so what we need to do is resist him, firm in our faith. But remember, it's not the strength of our faith that overcomes. It is the object of our faith. So if we rely on our own faith, then our faith is in our own faith. More precisely, what that means is your faith is in yourself. But I don't want to put faith in myself. I can't trust myself. I'm not good enough. I'm not powerful enough. So instead, resisting the devil and him fleeing and overcoming by faith is not about me having enough faith or mustering up enough faith. What it is making sure my faith is properly placed in an object which is powerful enough and great enough and awesome enough to overcome Satan, overcome sin, overcome the fear of death. And you know what? We have that. The object of our faith ought to be Jesus, who is triumphantly risen over death, who has conquered Satan, who has overcome sin. He is our hope. He is our joy. And so therefore, I place my trust in him. And so my faith is an overcoming faith, not because I'm awesome at producing it, but because my faith is firmly placed in Jesus, who alone is awesome to overcome all things. So, if we will humbly cast our anxieties upon God, who so cares for us and loves us that he sent his own son to overcome all the obstacles that keep us from God, then we will have hope. So, brothers and sisters, all over the world, Christians all over the world are experiencing hardships of various kinds, even as we speak. And they are struggling and they're having a hard time. And so we need to pray. But we ourselves, as we struggle and as we endure hardships and as we are experiencing the kind of suffering from what's going on in our world right now, brothers and sisters, put your hope in God. Because God cares for us. God is almighty. Jesus has conquered. Peter leaves us with this encouragement in verses 10 and 11. He says, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ," and here's the promise, "he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters, our hope is in God. He has all dominion. He has all authority forever and ever. There is no one greater than God. There is no power that can possibly thwart God's purposes. And we have this glorious promise that though many of us are facing financial issues and health concerns and just struggles of various kinds, make this promise from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Make that something that really sticks in your mind and heart. That God will restore. God will confirm. God will strengthen. God will establish us. How do we know that? How do we know that God will come through? Because, as the text said, He cares for us. And how we know He cares for us? It's evidenced by the fact that He sent His one and only Son to come to our rescue. And because Jesus is crucified and risen, we have every reason that every promise that God has ever made finds its absolute yes because of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let's put our eyes on Christ, Jesus who is risen, Jesus who is ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father, who is indeed interceding for us, and one day will come back again for us. This Jesus is our hope. He's our crown and our glory. So let's put our eyes on Him.
We hope today's episode was a blessing to you. Please make sure to subscribe to the Golden Hills Podcast in your favorite podcast app, like Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts. And of course, you can always find us on the web at www.goldenhills.org. We hope you'll visit with us again tomorrow.